The sermon for this morning was prepared for us by Pastor Harold. And the title of the sermon is, Who is the Prodigal One? The sermon is based on the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 22. The title of the sermon is posted on the screen. Let's read it, please. Who is the Prodigal One? Yes, who is the prodigal one? And he arose and came to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him, as is written in verse 20. Prodigal is not a word we use much anymore. It is not a word we hear much anymore. Prodigal, what does the word mean? The definition defines prodigal this way: given to extravagance, characterized in wasteful spending and giving. Tradition has assigned the term to the son in Jesus' Luke 15 parable as the prodigal son who wasted his father's inheritance. But I believe the term can just as easily apply to the father, who, according to the definition of prodigal, was indeed given to extravagance characterized in, some might consider, wasteful giving. The father's love for his son knew no limits. His forgiveness was immeasurable. His joy at the son's return was overflowing. His generosity has no bounds. Let's talk about the father's approachable love. In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 12, Jesus says, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Give me the share of the inheritance that is coming to me.'" The Jewish tradition of inheritance was quite clear. The elder son always got the first choice, the biggest part of the inheritance, and always after the father's death. But here note the bonus of the younger son. He broke the tradition and does not even wait for the funeral. He goes right to his father and says, Give me. Note the father's approachable love. He overlooked the tradition. He was not put off by the request. His son was more important to him than traditions. He loved his demanding son more than he loved his money. Soon his son left home. Why would this son want to leave such a father? Well, he mirrors a common reality today. He wanted the gifts without the giver. He wanted the blessings without the blesser. Give me. We and so many people can say today, God our Father, we want what you can give us, but we are not that interested in obedience to you. But now, in the parable, see the father's releasing love. Verse 12 says, "And the father divided up the property between them. He gave both sons their inheritance, and they did not have to wait for his funeral." Then, likely with tears in his eyes, the father let his younger son go, leave home. It has been said, love only possesses what it releases. Did the son know he broke his father's heart? Be careful how you answer this. Do we know when we break our Heavenly Father's heart? We do this in a thousand different ways. We leave him in a thousand different ways. Note verse 13 of the parable. The younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his inheritance in reckless living. The far country is the realm of rebellion. The far country may be, as it was for the younger son, an actual location far from the father's home. But we can travel to the far country without going too far. St. Augustine said this, "A darkened heart is the far country, for it is not by our feet, but by our affections that we either leave or return to God." That is to say, our far country away from our Heavenly Father can begin in our hearts that turn from God. What is your far country? How do we drift away from our Heavenly Father? Our far country can easily begin in our hearts, when our plans, our use of time, our use of money, our priorities squeeze God out of our lives. As we move further into this far country, prayer can become difficult, not impossible. We have a hard time looking God in the eyes, like when we have a broken relationship with another person and don't want to look them in the eyes or answer their phone calls or emails. Well, who is the younger son in this parable? Too often for us, he is the criminal or the alcohol or drug abuser or the person who has really fallen away from the church. It is so easy to point the finger at such people who have wasted their inheritance in reckless living. But we need to ask, to whom was this parable originally addressed? Who was Jesus talking to? In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 3, tells us this. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This Jesus receives sinners and eats with them.' So Jesus told them this parable." Jesus was talking to the self-righteous Jewish religious leaders, to church people. And he is talking to us church people today. Like the Pharisees, our far country is a place in our heart, and our external religiosity is not a cover-up. But Jesus sees right through any religious mask. And note verse 14 about the younger runaway son. "When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need." Today's question seems not to be, what do we do when the money runs out? But what can we squeeze into life before the undertaker arrives to bury us? Just one example of this is seen as I try to visit or contact young families. This is not easy to do because of the disease of busyness. Today, busyness is almost worn as a badge of honor. You may ask, "How are you?" "Oh, I'm so busy. Our family schedule is so full." For people of all ages today, busyness can be an excuse or an escape from considering what is really important before the undertaker arrives. This modern far country can rob us and our loved ones of what is important and eternal. Well, let's get back to the prodigal son, back to the runaway son in Jesus' parable. Desperate and hungry, he soon went from slopping the pigs to repentance and a hope to go home to his father. Verse 15 and 16 tells us he hired himself out as a slave to someone in that far country. And he longed to be fed by what the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. This boy really hit rock bottom. Pigs were ceremonially unclean for Jewish people, and to eat their pig slop was an act of utter desperation. But verse 17 tells us, but he came to himself. He saw his life, his rebellion, his far country as it really was, and he decided to make his way home. But his fathers asked his father's forgiveness and tell him, as in verse 19, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Here is the turning point of the story. Now we will see just who is the prodigal one. We will see that it is the father who is given to extravagance, characterized in wasteful giving. Now let us see the father's running love. Whoopee for verse 20. I must admit, this is probably my single favorite verse in the Bible. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The famous Greek philosopher Aristotle once said, great men never run in public. This is just below the dignity of a rich and famous and respected man. Never run. What would people think? The father in this parable was a man of great means. He had so much he could give out the inheritance and still have much left over. What did he do? He ran. Oh, he ran. He did not care what his neighbors might say. He ran to his runaway son who had broken his heart. He had to be looking for him every day, maybe scanning the horizon from his front window or from the edge of his property. The text says he saw his son while he was still a long way off, and he ran to him. He just could not wait for the boy to get to the front door. The son was likely practicing his repentance speech, was still likely smelling like pig slop or pig manure, and the father ran to him. Here is the good news for you and for me today. God makes his first move to us. He does not wait until we get all the way home or until we wash up all the pig manure from our time in our far country. This parable shows us the prodigal, extravagant, generous love of God for all sinners, for you and for me. Here we see the very heart of God. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, says it this way. For when we were still without strength, Christ died for us. For God demonstrates his own love toward us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that is not all. For your runaway son, for your runaway daughter, or for any of your runaway family members and friends. The inheritance never runs out. Verses 22 to 24 tells us this. The father said to his servant, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf. Let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And is lost and is now found. What rope? Was it the father's rope? A rope for honored guests? The son's former rope? We don't know for sure. But the point was clear. Repentant sons and repentant daughters are welcome in the father's house. You are welcome home in the arms of your heavenly father. Can you pass that message unto others? The father has a special rope awaiting you and them, and it is just the right size. The son who came home was next given a ring. Not just any ring. This was the signet ring, the ring that declared whoever wore this ring had full rights to the inheritance. All the riches of the father still belong to this son. And the ring was placed on his callous, dirty hand, on the finger of that hand, with pig manure still under the fingernails. Today, my friends, all the riches of our Heavenly Father belong to you. The Holy Word of God, the sacrament of Holy Baptism, the sacrament of Holy Communion, the sure gift of the forgiveness of sins that the Word and sacraments deliver to you. Just look at that altar this morning. What riches on Communion Sunday when the bread and wine are placed into your hands. Just imagine the Father placing his signet ring on your finger. Welcome home. Next, the father has shoes put on the feet of his dear son. In those days, bare feet were a sign of slavery, no longer in a far country. This former pig-slopping slave was declared to be a welcome son. Welcome back to the home of his father. He was forgiven and freed from his sinful rebellion. And then the fattened calf was prepared for a party, a homecoming celebration. Every Sunday in this place, God throws a party for you and for me. You are the honored guests. Come to God's house, dressed in your robe, your ring, and your shoes. Oh, let nothing get in the way of the celebration. We end this sermon with a story. A woman choir member came to church each Sunday with her husband, children, and her father. She would take her place in the choir loft after settling her family in a pew near the front. Her father really liked to express himself during the sermon, and when something was said he liked, he would exclaim out loud, "Hallelujah," or "Amen," or "That's right." This was embarrassing for the woman, and he tried to bribe her father. She said, "Dad, your birthday is coming soon, and I know you want a new pair of hunting boots. If you can just quit yelling out during pastor's sermon, the boots will be yours." The next Sunday, things went well. Father was quiet, but two Sundays later, the pastor preached with great passion about the love of God for sinners. As the sermon went on, Father got more and more excited. He tried to behave, but at the end of the sermon, the old man just could not restrain himself. "Boot or no boots," he cried out. "Hallelujah! Hallelujah indeed for anyone here today in a far country. Your Heavenly Father, your prodigal father, is running down that path to you. Welcome home. All is prepared. Come to the feast. Come to the celebration. Just come. To God be the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.